Hello, I'm Simon.
I'm Dan.
And this is the Wikicast, a podcast where Wikipedia takes us to a random article each week and we talk about what we find. Dan, what are we talking about this week?
This week, Simon, we're talking about Elijah Wheatley, who was a British flat racing jockey who won the 1905 Jockeys Championship. He was called Elijah Whippet Wheatley, nicknamed because of his small stature. I feel we'd get along.
You and him, yes.
I think so, yeah. I didn't even realize. It just made me realize, just reading this article, how far horse riding, like specifically racing, goes back. 1905 Jockeys Championship. I mean, he was born in 1885, died in 1951, and then the first jockey who won, oh my gosh, he won in 1840, and he was the same winner right the way through until 1852.
I'm honestly surprised that didn't
12
happen.
12 years.
Like, earlier.
I think so?
Well, horses have been domesticated for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, but they've always served quite a specific purpose.
Yeah, moving fast.
Yeah, no, but like moving fast either to get, like, you know, like in aid of travel or to transport goods.
But also,
neither
like
of those
hunting.
Purposes are filled with racing, though.
But you look at, you know, ancient civilizations, friezes and stuff, and they have kings hunting on horseback and things like that.
They do.
You know, and you have them used in chariot racing. So it seems strange to me that there isn't a greater history of horseback riding in a racing setting. I'm really surprised that isn't earlier.
So that's just flat racing, bearing in mind.
So not this, is it steep?
Is a form of horse racing, and which is run on a level race course. So
is it steeplejack? What's it called when they're
steeplechase, isn't it?
Is that just humans, or is that horses as well?
I think it's horses as well. Flat racing does not require horses to jump over any obstacles such as required for hurdling or in a steeplechase.
Okay, so I think maybe hurdling is when there's no water, I guess. Because steeplechase is you go over a thing and then there's water on the other side.
Yes.
Why is it called... Hang on, okay, you stay on that article. Right. Why is it called steeplechasing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just reading more about this guy, though. He was born in Ilkeston, Derbyshire, in 1885. From there, he moved to become Apprentice of the Yard. Oh, God, what a title.
Apprentice of the Yard.
At William Elsby of... Baumber, Lincolnshire. I should know how to say
Baffa,
that. My
Bomber,
Baumber, Lincolnshire is where my mother's family's from, so I should really know how to say that. But...
Oh, nice.
Wheatley's next career step took him to Egypt, where he spent most of the remainder of his life. In 1933, retired from racing, he was appointed principal trainer to King. Oh God, I don't know how to say that. Fuad.
I beg your pardon.
Fuad. Fuad. How would you say that?
For what?
Fuad?
Yeah, I don't
know. He remained in Egypt until his wife's death in 1951, whereupon he returned home to Ilkeston.
He remained in Egypt until his wife was dead.
No! Oh, he married twice.
Oh.
Fair play.
Your first wife
His first wife died in the summer of 1912, shortly after he married the actress Maudie Wood. Maudie Wood.
Maudie Wood.
Sounds like an insult.
But she died shortly after he married the second wife.
Yes.
Wow. But she took that well.
Yeah. Sister of the musical star Mary Lloyd in Brixton.
London. Famous Mary Lloyd. Who was that?
She was professionally... Matilda Alice Victoria Wood, professionally known as Mary Lloyd, was an English musical singer, comedian, and music theatre actress. Her best-known performance, such as The Boy I Love Is in His Gallery. Oh, that's our favourite. My Old Man said Follow the Van.
My Old Man was a dust man?
Yeah.
Was that a song you had when you were a kid? My Old Man was a dust man?
I think it was... We sang it as Bin Man.
Oh, but it was like, my old man, dust man, he wears a dust man's hat. Yeah. Bought 10,000 tickets to watch a football match. And there were like 8 verses that as a kid you memorize. Because it's that weird thing. It's that, like, as a kid, it was perfectly acceptable to just sing in like groups. Like that was like a playground song. You never get that as adults, unless you're in a choir.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, she looks very similar to the woman who I think was in one of the first films ever made.
Hang on, are you talking about the jockey or his second wife?
His second wife. She received both criticism and praise for her use of innuendo and double entendre during her performances, but enjoyed a long and prosperous career during which she was affectionately called the Queen of the Music Hall.
How nice. I feel like you'd have got on with both him and his wife very well.
Alarmingly well.
So I've been looking up steeplechasing.
Yes.
I don't think water is actually a key feature. I think that might just have become like a convention in certain bits.
Well, there's never only a water. There's never really a water-only jump.
There's a jump. But I don't even think that's necessary for it to be steeplechasing. No. The name is derived from early races in which the orientation of the course was by reference to a church steeple.
Right.
So jumping fences and ditches I guess it's like as the crow flies, it just meant that happened. Mm. But it doesn't specifically mention in the wiki that there's water afterwards. There's the Grand National is a steeplechase.
Yeah.
As opposed to hurdling. Or unless it's a form of hurdling. I don't know. I'm not really reading this. We've been accused several times of wavering off the Wikipedia article that we are randomly given.
Mm.
And I think with that in mind,
yes,
I want to talk about microwave etiquette.
Okay.
Because something happened to me
today.
Oh,
yeah, here we go. Right, Twittergate. I saw you absolutely going mental today.
I was fuming.
Right, talk us through it.
In XTUni, in the student guild bit, there are two microwaves, which is a bit of a problem anyway, because there's obviously lots of students. You're inevitably going to get a queue.
Just before you go on to the heart of the story, just for fellow readers, if anyone wants to quickly pause the podcast and make a cup of tea, I have my tea here. Sit back, listen to Simon get angry. Here we go. Oh, hang on.
Hang on, I'm going to open my Diet Coke. There we go. Right.
Sorry, continue.
I'm hydrated.
Continue.
I've just spilled half of it on my groin.
Nailed it.
So there are these two microwaves and you get these queues that form. And when you're microwaving food, at most it will take 3 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
You put a Tupperware thing in, it's yesterday's leftovers, whatever. Yeah. And you're aware that there is a queue behind you, and it's like, oh, God, maybe 2.5 minutes is enough.
Mm.
That would be what normal people would do.
Right.
This guy.
Right.
This f***er.
Did he put a cover on the things he put in the microwave?
Actually, only on some of them.
Oh, really?
He didn't even commune
what
the microwave.
What a heathen.
I know. Who would do such a thing?
Gosh, I don't
but
know.
That isn't the worst that he did, because the warning sign was I was directly behind him.
Right.
And he didn't at any point make like eye contact with me during this whole procedure.
Mm.
He put his first thing in and then put 10 minutes on the microwave. And I was like, okay, that's a bold move, but all right.
Yeah.
And then it got to about 7 minutes and he sort of prematurely ejected it. And I was like, oh.
It's a common problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. Yeah, 1 in 5.
But, you know, I was thinking, oh, he was just counting down from 10. He didn't know how long it needed.
Right.
Whatever. He then took that out and put 2 new things in.
Oh, God. 2 things? Yeah, he put them 2... one on top of each other, though.
No, he put them next to each other.
Thank God. God.
And then just carried on going. And he was like on his phone. And I was like, who on earth needs 3 bits of Tupperware for their lunch, for one thing?
Yeah.
And then it got about halfway through that cycle. And then a bunch of his friends came along. And were like, oh, yeah, here you go, and gave him a bunch more Tupperware.
Oh, God.
And they were like, and I at no point said, oh, excuse me, there's a queue, which of course would have been the right thing to do.
You're British, exactly, so it would be the wrong thing to do.
I sighed, and I tutted very quietly.
Did you take some time out later in the day to write a strongly worded email?
No, I tweeted during.
Right.
I
suppose that's close. That's close.
And so I was like, good grief, this is what is happening.
Mm.
But then more people came and gave him stuff, including a sandwich, like as in a shop bought sandwich in its plastic wrapping. And he was like, oh, okay, and like opened the microwave, put another bit of Tupperware, which was like number 5 by this point, and put the sandwich on top. And
I wonder what on earth was he preparing, a 5-course meal only using a microwave?
Afterwards, I saw him, it was him and a group of like 8 or 9 people, and they were all having like a feast out of these Tupperware in the middle. But what they'd done is just plonked him at the front of the line. There were about 6 or 7 people behind me in this queue.
Whereabouts is the microwave that you use?
In A&V, so it's in the Student Guild.
Right, okay.
So
are there any other ones closer to the physics building?
There is one in the common room in the Labour building, but I had to get a drink. Well, I didn't have to, but I wanted to get a drink to go with it.
So I
just used the guild one.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't have to use this microwave. In fact, the queue for the other one obviously went much quicker, but it was as a matter of principle.
Mm.
I stuck to my guns. I was like, no, I'm going to stay here and passive-aggressively tweet and sigh loudly when you take everything out.
Of course.
And by the time it got to, I think it was about 9 containers.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, because he put the sandwich in and was about to do it. And I literally had to say, no, what are you doing?
Mm.
And I didn't say, by the way, look at the queue behind you.
Mm.
He was like, oh, okay. Then took the sandwich out and then did another bunch of Tupperware and then put the sandwich in. Who needs to microwave a sandwich anyway?
No idea.
But it got to the point where he reheated in the microwave something that he heated at the start of the process because he'd been there for 16 minutes. Because I knew, because he put another 10 minutes on. And as soon as the second 10 minutes I was like, bloody hell, we're in for the long haul.
Christ.
The best bit was the fact that he finally finished and it took like 3 people to carry all the Tupperware at the end. I then like very aggressively put my thing in, shut the door. He still had time left, so I just used the rest of his time. It was like 3 minutes. And then I was like, and then like scurried off, gave him the evil eye and like went, as I walked past his group.
Yeah.
Sat down with my food, It's fucking cold. Because he'd been micro everything on the lowest setting.
Oh, no.
That's why it took so long.
Oh, God.
And I was so angry. I was like, I'm just going to have my curry cold now. Yeah. This is, I was so angry. It.
Crikey.
Honestly, if you're listening to this, I don't even know. I can't think of anything.
Like, you're very cross. You're fuming.
No curse in Elvish, Entish, or the tongues of men. Or Chinese, because I think he was Chinese. Would be appropriate for who? Because, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a douche.
What an inconsiderate person. I don't think I've ever microwaved anything at uni.
For 16 minutes.
No, actually, that's an even better point. No, I think the longest time I've ever microwaved anything for is 4 minutes, I think. I tend to, if I really want, if it's something that's going to require more than 4 minutes.
You're probably going to do it on
I'll use the oven. I'll use the oven or the stove.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want the middle to be piping hot and the rest of it
what gets me
cold.
Is the fact that, like, he presumably, it was like 3 or 4 minutes per container, like the regulation amount, everything that he took out would have been cold. So at no point did he think to change the settings or anything.
Yeah. This leads on to another question I was thinking about the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine who just has never had, just because he was brought up in a household that never had a microwave. Mm. He doesn't have one in his house either. And I was thinking, as far as it being kind of cost effective or like cost per use, which is often how people kind of validate buying things that are relatively expensive, because a microwave isn't exactly cheap.
No, it's not.
So the number of times you use it, you can knock off a certain amount from the price and you can kind of justify it in that way. I don't think I really ever use a microwave.
I do more because it's very easy to cook corn, as in corn, with it. You can just cover us, put it like in it with sauce, and then 10 minutes and it's done.
Yeah. If I do a soup, I tend to do it on the hob.
Yep.
Other than that, I can't.
I mean, its main
really
benefit is leftovers.
Yeah.
Which sometimes you do anyway in like the hob or something. Whereas for me, partly because I'm trying to tightly control my diet, it's almost always something that is like rice, a sauce, and a meat substitute.
Yeah.
So it's something that can go in a microwave. Welcome to Domestic Corner with Domestic Goddess.
It's one of my favorite. One of my favorite corners.
You are a domestic. Well, thing is, saying you're a domestic goddess is obviously the phrase. But if you were to change that and say you're a domestic god, that suddenly makes it sound ridiculous.
I think we should go. Let's stick with goddess, and we can be carrying on from last week's episode of subverting gender roles with our conversation about makeup. Yeah, I think I don't know. I think again, domestic goddess. So, when you were away in Germany.
I was away in Germany.
Last week?
Since we last spoke.
Last weekend?
Yeah, last weekend.
I set myself the task of doing another clean because I was in a bad mood and it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, right, I'm going to arm myself with bleach and a toothbrush.
It was like an Edgar Wright tooling up montage.
Yeah,
exactly, the rubber gloves go on.
And I think I spent about an hour in the bathroom just scrubbing the living daylight out of every inch of it. And it's just, it's such a satisfying feeling. I nearly went as far we've got a mop in the house. We've never had to use it.
Oh yeah, we do.
I usually just Hoover or sweep, but I was very tempted to crack, like, as in move the furniture to one side, pick up the rug, hang that outside, and let's just go hell for leather. But I didn't, because I was tired. When it was about 3 o'clock when I finally packed it all in, I was like, that's enough. I'm done now.
So I've been looking through the Wikipedia article whilst we've been talking for steeplechasing.
Right.
Because it's open.
Yeah.
At the bottom, you know how they sometimes have these boxes of, they're like related articles, but it's in a structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's equestrian activities.
Right.
Some of these sound amazing. Of the following, which do you want to learn the most about? There is barrel racing, which apparently is an equestrian activity.
Right.
Pole bending. I don't understand where the horse is coming into this. Tent pegging. Again, like, a lot of these would make sense without the horse. But then you get stuff like jousting, pig sticking, cowboy mounted shooting.
Right.
And yabusame. I have no idea what that is. Icelandic equitation.
I quite like the sound of pig sticking.
Pig sticking, right. Hang on.
I mean, it was read out near jousting. So
it's like Tinder for horses. You send your horse out into a paddock and it's like, go on, lad! Go on!
If you swipe left, it means nay.
Oh,
like, no. Oh, man. There was a pun in there somewhere. I was struggling. I was floundering about, but it was nearly there.
Was it pig sticking you wanted to know
about?
Yes,
please.
Oh, it's been changed to boar hunting. I think pig sticking, they're trying to make it sound sexier than it is.
Pig sticking sounds very Martin-esque, doesn't it?
Oh, and pole bending is much less interesting. God, they're very misleading. Pole bending is, you know, that agility thing at Crufts? where the dog just goes healthy through the parts. Basically, that on a horse.
Oh, right. Duck and Weave.
Yeah.
Animal Duck and Weave.
Animal Duck and Weave. Hey, what's barrel racing? Barrel racing is an American thing. It's a rodeo event in which a horse and rider attempt to complete a clover leaf pattern around preset barrels in the fastest time.
A clover leaf? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like
quite a niche shape.
Yeah, so it's like a modified triangle, I guess. It's like a triangular kind of...
A triangle with two extra points at each point.
No, as in like there is a triangle and then you enter the triangle, like loop around all the points and then you exit to via the same point that you entered.
Right.
So it's kind of like a modified, like there's a path, there's a diagram.
Yeah.
Got to be honest, like rodeo stuff. I thought I'd love to go to a rodeo.
Well, I was rewatching Dallas Buyers Club this morning.
I still haven't seen that.
It's an excellent film with Matthew McConaughey.
Did he get the Oscar for that?
No.
He was nominated, I know.
I think it was actually Jared, I'm going to say Leto.
Yeah.
Maybe Leto.
I think it's Leto.
I'm fairly sure he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting. I can't remember which. But yeah, excellent, excellent film. And obviously that starts with him. His primary job is as a rodeo.
Oh, they both won. McConaughey won Best Actor and Leto won Best Supporting Actor.
Was that the Academy Award because of the Oscars?
Yeah, 86th Awards.
Excellent. Anyway, yeah, excellent film. In fact, I was speaking to Pixel Girl today. Mm-hmm. And raved about it so much.
What? How dare you? Sorry,
She watched it today. She really liked it. So.
Oh, she didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Well, this is when she's... Well, this is another thing. So I got back very, very late from Dorset yesterday evening. I was at a house party of a dear close friend of ours, Hugo, who you'd have heard before, a fellow choral scholar, which was had a lovely, lovely time. Anyway, got home quite late, and as I've made a habit of, whenever Simon's away, I tend to just sleep on the sofa and stick something on the TV and just kind of curl up and have a great time. Mainly because I'm too lazy to walk up the stairs.
I was quite tired.
My train was delayed by half an hour, and it takes me an hour and just about an hour and 45 minutes to get back. So it's quite a long trip. Anyway, I lay down, kind of set myself up, got up in the morning, made some breakfast, had a cup of tea. I'd got rather hot in the night, so I'm going to say I wasn't wearing quite as much as I hoped I was, had I knew that someone would knock on the door. Anyway, someone knocked on the door, and I was like, oh, Christ, what if it's a delivery person? All right, put some clothes on quickly. So I put some clothes on, and by the time I got to the entrance to the cloakroom, someone was in the cloakroom, and it wasn't Simon.
The cloakroom is definitely, that's making it sound like it's a proper room. It's about 5 feet long.
It's a cloakroom.
Is it?
That's where we put the cloaks. Where we put the coats. Like, what would you call that space?
I don't know. Like, an entrance, I guess.
Is an entrance a room?
Well, that's barely a room. It is obviously a room. It has, like, spatial extent.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like coat room sounds
cloak.
Fancier. Cloak room even sounds fancier.
Anyway, I looked into the cloak room. and I saw someone was already in there, and it wasn't Simon because they were considerably shorter.
And they had
so boots. I immediately thought, who the hell has a key to my house? And it was Pixel Girl, and I had no idea she was coming, and she scared the living daylight out of me, and she came and then did a load of washing.
To rewind several minutes, what was the connection between Dallas Buyers Club and rodeos?
And rodeos?
Yeah.
Because his character is a rodeo.
What? He is an event with horses?
No, that's the title of someone who rides bulls.
Oh,
they're called
a
rodeo, yeah.
Ah, I see. So if I'd seen the film, I'd understand.
At least I believe that's right. I'm pretty sure it is. Because, it's a shortening of...
Oh, it's a rodeo cowboy.
Yeah, or a rodeo jockey, depending on, you know.
That sounds like a radio jockey, like a DJ.
I wonder if that's why they call it radio jockey, because it sounds like rodeo. And they thought that might be clever.
Let me have a look.
Have a look and see.
All right.
But yeah, Pixel Girl came over and did a load of washing and promptly left. And she went to that new vegan cafe around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Is it Leaf Grass?
Rabbit, isn't it?
Something like that.
I think it's Rabbit.
It does look nice, actually.
I've never been.
I'm tempted to try being vegan for a bit. Maybe a month or so.
Is corn vegan?
You can get vegan corn now.
What's in corn currently that doesn't make it vegan?
Egg protein, I think. It's only in some of them. There are now increasingly, you'll see packages with vegan stuff on the front, but I think they bind because it's mycoprotein, which is from
bacteria, right?
No, mushrooms. It's fungi. It's actually really cool how they grow it. It basically is like a fungus that fills like a cube, and then it gets kind of chopped up.
Because that's what they were talking about for. I think it was something I read a statistic, something like by 2040 or 2050, meat was going to have to start being grown in vats to meet the needs of the population. And they were all, I mean, they're already basically doing that. And when they say meat, they obviously mean like protein substitutes.
Yeah, but I mean, but then at what point do you draw the boundary between meat, even if it's exactly the same like proteins and the same texture and the same taste, but it's grown in a factory? Or
I guess that's why we have things like organic and free range coming in to preface the food, because so many of them are now being mass produced from like factories and things. It gives them a way of being able to say, basically, this did come from an actual animal that you would know. But to say this has come from an animal that you would know is a bit of a long title to put on the food packaging. So they just go, organic, free range. You know?
So radio jockey is a derivative of disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And the term combined disc, referring to phonographic disc records,
mm-hmm.
who'd have thunk it, David Blunkett, and jockey, denoting the DJ's practice of riding the audio game, or alternatively, riding a song to success and popularity.
Okay.
Because the audio levels, if anybody's done any audio technical stuff, because I did a year of, 2 years actually, of a science show on student radio, and, you know, the levels are the tricky bit, because that's basically, if you hear, oh God, what's a good example? Like, if you're listening to something and there's a noise that's much louder all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it kind of sounds like a screech, it's because like the levels were set too high, and that's what you're trying to avoid with radio. There are like two rules: get your levels right and avoid silence.
Peaky.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, Peaky Blinders. Mm. A show I have not watched, which had Cillian Murphy's in it, isn't
it? I haven't watched it either, actually. It's meant to be very good.
Tell you what, Pixel Girl was telling me about Narcos. Except she pronounced it Narcos.
Narcos.
Narcos. Which, to be fair, is probably what the characters would pronounce it as.
Yeah, probably.
But have you watched that?
Nope.
It's like, there are so many amazing TV series. Like, there's that. I'm now
Suits. It's meant to be really good.
I tried Suits, but it's like, the best way I can describe Suits is it's like House. But, you know, the thing with House is it's like, oh, the problem wasn't with their kidneys, it was with their stomach.
Mm.
And it's like, oh yeah, like, you have a vague idea of how the bits of the body connect to each other. It's like head connects to neck bone kind of deal. Whereas with Law, it's just like, oh yeah, we use this bit of the law. And it's like, I didn't know that existed. Every episode feels like a Deus Ex Machina.
That's one of the things that I thought Grey's Anatomy did really well, in that you didn't have to know a tremendous amount about the body and anatomy. They'd vamp up the kind of specificity of what they were talking about through you watching episodes and actually learning yourself. It was advised when I was doing my biology.
It's like suggested watching.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, watch these episodes. It's really accurate and quite good.
I've been told that
It's the standard textbook called Grey's Anatomy, isn't it?
Yes, which is where it gets its name from. But I think it might be a different spelling of grey.
Yeah, I think it's G-R.
E in the show and A in the
textbook.
It's one of them. It's that or vice versa.
Mm.
But yeah, I've been told that Scrubs is, the early Scrubs is meant to be very accurate for medical students.
I could never do Scrubs.
Really?
No, I didn't find it very funny. I think it doesn't typify American attitudes to humour, but it's very similar to that kind of standard, kind of not necessarily crude and slapstick.
It's a bit lowest common denominator.
Yeah, I prefer things that are a little kind of wittier.
More sophisticated, like Jeeves and Worcester or...
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Bit of Flying Laurie.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, I felt like, of all the American shows, Scrubs does it the least.
Yeah, see, I don't want no Scrubs.
No diggity.
No.
Whereas, yeah, like, the early stuff I really liked, because it was quite dark as well. It was a medical show, but it didn't shy away from the fact that... Well, it's like, one of the all-time best episodes is... Is it My Little Lady? It's like season one, episode four, and it's like introduced. It's a very clever structure. Like, it's like each of the three leads has a patient, and you're told...
I thought you were referring to the structure of this, like, the show. Like, yeah, they do episodes and then seasons. Wow, that's good.
It's
an
amazing new structure.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like, each of the three leads are given a patient, and you're told at the start, like, one in three patients on average will die in hospital. And then it's a bit like... a little bit like Cameron's Titanic, like when you're shown how the ship breaks up at the start, and then you're like, oh, hang on, when's that going to happen? But what's your favourite TV series, do you think? Like, in terms of, like you know, the classic box set kind of thing. Because I think for me, it would probably be Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad was tremendously good. I think House of Cards, I absolutely loved.
I'm in the middle of House of Cards
at
the moment.
That's amazing. I finished they released the new season, two months ago?
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
Maybe a bit more. I finished that in about a week. I'm not sure. I've been watching.
Oh, actually, I might have to rescind my vote for Breaking Bad. Maybe for Community, like, in terms of
Community seasons 1 to 4.
I'd say 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh no, of course. What am I talking about? It's The Simpsons. Seasons 2 to 9.
Yeah.
That's the greatest TV show.
I don't think I've ever
time.
Met anyone more obsessed with The Simpsons than Simon.
I just like about 20 meme pages.
You don't,
okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't like the show. You and the show have a, like a...
It's because...
flourishing relationship.
I was super lucky in that I grew up exactly, like, because, I mean, the show premiered in, what, 1989? I was born in 1990. Mm. So, like, I kind of grew up watching it
you
from the
been,
age...
Yeah, like, I'm perfect, old. Yeah.
But also, I watched it delayed by, like, 3 years or so, because it would be syndicated in the UK.
Yeah.
So by the time that... Say season 2 came out, and I think it was 91. It was either 91 or 90. Right. So I would have started seeing that when I was just about old enough to start watching cartoons and getting it. And I remember watching it with my parents, and they used to watch it with me to make sure that nothing inappropriate was on. Because, like, if you watch back, they did some heavy stuff.
Mm. Heavy stuff in that it was kind of emotionally hard-hitting or addressed kind of not, well, yeah, adult themes, whereas
yeah,
now
yeah.
they're trying to make up for that by being crude.
Oh yeah, it's dead.
And that's why
it,
yeah,
it died in like 1999. Yeah. There's a specific episode called The Principal and the Pauper, which is the episode where you find out that Principal Skinner isn't Principal Skinner, and he's actually called Armin Tamzarian, and he's like impersonating an actual Principal Skinner who didn't come back from Vietnam.
Yeah,
and
I think I remember that one actually.
That's the moment when like all the trust that you built up in one character and the development was just kind of thrown away for one episode.
Mm.
And that's the moment when the show is meant, that's like the decline from there.
Okay.
But up until then, oh my God.
Like, they're pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed The Simpsons. I suppose because I wasn't, it's kind of, I don't fit the perfect timescale that you do.
It was like
it doesn't mean
Harry
as,
Potter.
Yeah.
I imagine that was more you.
That was, yeah.
Well, hang on, when were you born?
97.
So you would have, actually, you were born the year the first book came out, right?
I think so.
Because I was the right age to read it.
Yeah, before I was a kind of fully competent reader, I was listening to the audiobooks, and then I would just devour the book, like I do now. Mm. I'd finish a book, pick a new one up, and then go back to the first one, and then wait. And then I remember seeing the first film with my mum, and coming out, and I dressed up.
What did you dress as?
A wizard, funnily enough.
Yeah, but like, were you a specific wizard? That's what I mean.
Harry!
Oh, okay.
Bearing in mind, I think I got my first pair of glasses when I was 3.
Did you put a scar on your capable forehead?
Probably.
Have you always had a big forehead, actually?
I don't know. I would imagine when I was a baby, it wasn't obvious because all babies have big heads.
Yeah.
That's part of the point of being a child, I think.
It is your purpose to have a large head.
It just so happened that rather than my body growing in proportion of my head, my head just
your face
grew.
Slid down.
The baby-like proportions of a baby just continued to a fully grown me.
Yeah.
But I loved that. For most of the books, I'd try and go with either my mum or my dad. Yeah. They'd take me to the midnight...
I went to see the last one with my mum and dad, and I was, like, 19 at the time.
See, I remember going, and I queued for the midnight release of most of the books, but the one that sticks in my mind the most was, I believe it was The Half-Blood Prince, and Robbie Coltrane was in the store.
Oh, wow!
He was one of the people, like, you know, like, it's just a bit of, like, talent, you know, being there, and she was signing... She being JK.
You met JK?
She was signing the books. So I wouldn't know, because you could either queue to have a book signed and buy the new one, or you could queue to buy the signed books. She was doing like a live signing.
Right.
And I'm fairly, like, I remember getting straight into the car and mum telling me off for reading it too quickly. We got into the car and I was about a quarter of the way into the, like, through the book before we got home. According to both my parents, I started talking really early, like a lot, considerably earlier than a lot of my kind of like classmates, or which was hilarious because I had a very similar accent than I do, like, as to I do now. I don't sound too posh, but
you were a weird posh mix of like middle class English and a tinge of Australian to
me. thanks Australia. But I remember they were telling a story about how when I was, I think I would have been 2.5, nearly 3, and my parents went on a holiday to Florida, I think it was, because we did, I think, 2 days in Disney World or whatever it was then, and I would basically never have to pay for any drinks or food. Or they had strawberries that were literally apparently the size of my head when I was a child. These colossal strawberries. And, you know, like young American kind of girl staff working at the bars and things. And they would just sit with me all day and feed me strawberries because they were talking to this tiny little thing, but was could talk like, an, you know, like someone at twice his age, which apparently was quite funny. But Poldark. Was he?
Well, yes, that's what we were talking about.
Well, you asked me about what films I've been watching recently.
Right.
TV shows, even. Yes, and okay. Poldark's been excellent. Also, the BBC adaptation of War and Peace.
Oh yeah,
is
you did
really,
that.
Really good. There's a moment in that one of the episodes ends, and I will provide a link to this particular part in the description of this episode. There's this piece of music that's been written for piano to end this piece this episode, and it will, without a doubt, you listen to maybe 30 seconds of dialogue prior to this piece being played, and it's basically a guy who knows he's in love with a girl, has just found out that this girl has fallen in love with his best friend, and his best friend's come to tell him, and he's saying, go for it, you know, like, go after her. She's, you know, you'd be the luckiest man in the world, and I can see the way she looks at you, and obviously the best friend doesn't know that he's head over heels for her, and then this piano piece comes in, and I just bawl. I can't control myself, just
you
cry.
You are a bit of a bawler.
I'm a weeper. Though.
Like a B-A-W.
And it's weird because I love it. I love the feeling of just...
crying?
Yeah.
Really?
Genuinely, yeah. I find it really empowering just to completely let go. And that's where it might be because I see something really happy or something that, like, you know, when you see videos of, like, war veterans coming home and their dog sees them, that'll make me, like, tear up a bit. But I think when there are particularly really kind of sad, poignant moments, I really like the feeling of, especially if I'm on like my own, and just being able to let it all go.
See,
and
we are so
weep.
Different in that respect. Yeah. I cry maybe once a year, if that. Well, this year's been a very weepy year because I had like a lot going on with the PhD.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really, really healthy. I don't think I cry too much. I just think that I'm quite an overly sensitive person. Yeah. Like, I can't watch, you know, like, funniest home videos and things. And so many of those are just people, like, falling and hurting themselves. Yeah. I genuinely can't watch that because if they, like, the classic one is somebody skateboarding, like, grinding down a pole on a skateboard, then falling off and it going up in between their legs. Yeah. I can't watch that because I feel the pain, basically. And I looked up online what this is. And if we've got any kind of biologists or whatever, or psychologists, actually, they might be able to kind of explain the point, but I think it's called having like an overly empathetic part of the brain,
right?
Where, and like it's a common thing where they've actually done brain scans on people who explain that they have this thing where they can't watch it, and I'm dead set sure that I'm the same.
You're a softie.
I physically feel the
I genuinely can't
that's why I can't watch it, because it will, I feel like pain in that area. It's really, really weird.
I think this is where my emotional distance from most things comes in useful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, Dan is very much the emotional one in this relationship.
Yeah.
And I am so not.
Heartless.
I'm not heartless. I am practical, and I am moving us on because someone's got to take the reins on this careening podcast.
Okay.
I think we should take a trip to Correspondence Corner.
Woo!
Not Dan's Correspondence Corner. We're in Simon's nice, clean, logical, neon-lit...
library.
library.
Yeah.
We're going to read some of your correspondence. Now, we are reading every single one. We do apologize if your email does not make it into the podcast. We've had so many that they just won't all fit.
Yeah. We would be here for... We'd be pushing probably 2 hours.
Yeah, and we want to keep this to about an hour. So we do read every single one. Where possible, we will try and reply. But please don't be offended if we don't read yours out. We have read every single message.
Yes.
With that in mind, first message is from Michael Hope to Messrs. Clark and Moore. Guaranteed that I'm going to edit this one in. Just wanted to email to say my appreciation of your fantastic podcast and videos. Thank you very much. Simon, your PhD blogs helped me pluck up the courage to go for my gender studies PhD, one I just got funding for. Well done.
Nice.
That is a big achievement. Well done. Dan, the forehead, the fashion, and the slight campness.
Hang on, sorry. The slight campness.
Yeah, and the correct usage of an Oxford comma. Which, you know, all great. All contribute to you being one of the best human beings I'm yet to meet.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. Is that Michael?
Work. Yep, that is Michael Hope.
Thank you, Michael.
Got to say, top lad.
Yeah.
That is, if a reader has done something really good, you're a top lad, mate. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, you're a top lad.
Top lad.
Next, Patrick G. Kelsey, which sounds like you're a character in a 90s sitcom. Mm,
I like it.
Has said, hi guys, I'm going to say a lot here, is implicit. I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the podcast and you two are the first people to make me fucking care and like a podcast.
Nice.
Chapel music, or classical music in general, and a vlog. I've never liked any of those things before, but you are special, even though I slightly hate Simon for his work ethic because I'm the definition of a procrastinator.
Fair play.
I procrastinate way too much. Anyway, I just wanted a little help, especially from Simon, because he is a physics guy.
It's
on
true.
On the 14th or 15th of September, I can't remember exactly, I'm starting my last year of high school in Spain. Ah,
nice.
Voila. When I finish school, my dream is to study theoretical physics somewhere in the UK, with Zurich as a plan B and Madrid as a plan C. Good grief, he's more organised than I was. I've decided already the five universities I'm interested in. I'm going to visit them all the week before I start school, in open days and private tours. It'd be awesome if you could give me some advice on what sort of questions I should be asking and any tips on uni life for next year.
Well, you should establish whether you're going to be living on campus or not, because a lot of universities will have, they'll be like private halls, but owned separate from the university.
Yeah, so like geographically separate, but still part of the uni.
Yeah, so, you know, like Printworks for here, yeah. For instance, or I was in Holland Hall, which is right slap bang in the centre of campus. So knowing where you're going to be relative to the university geographically would be handy. Whether you're going to go catered or non-catered is probably a good one to think about. I chose my halls based on where my lectures were, so I never had to walk really more than 5 minutes away from where I lived.
Yeah, although do look up the elevation on a map, because that's the next it looks like it's very close.
I could have been
a massive hill.
Exactly. If I'd lived just 6 minutes away, I would have been in Burke's Grange, which meant having to climb Cardiac Hill.
So cool, because you have a heart attack whenever you go up.
It is mental.
I think asking people what they like about the uni, or if they regret moving there, is like useless, because everybody always likes going their uni in the end. I think maybe a good question is, ask people what do you wish was different about the uni, and that will give you an idea of limitations. I know I could have just asked this on Simon's main channel, you could have, but this is a better way to tell Dan that he is awesome, and that I love how he's a guy in his 50s stuck in the body of a guy in his 20s. 20 is generous.
Thank you. Hey. No, Patrick, you're on.
50-year-old man in a 16-year-old's body.
I love it.
And because I'm an attention whore, he wants the fame of appearing in the podcast. Well, my editing skills will determine whether that happens
straight
or not.
Straight in.
And to finish, you have to make another competition like the Drunk Mile, please. And Simon, even though my mum loves you and likes your videos, she's a bit mad on how you couldn't put your duvet on properly and said you were crazy. I got better, all right? But I'm still doing it my way.
If we're talking about things that Simon can't do properly, wait until one day we'll talk about how he cuts cheese. And that's not a euphemism. I literally mean cutting a block of cheese. Oh my. I get so cross.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Next, an email from Amy Gaskin, who has been following me for a while, and I know you've been talking on Twitter, actually, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Dear Dan and Simon, yep, you do get biologists listening. I happen to be one of them.
Hey.
Blimey, thank the heavens you corrected yourself about salamanders and Dorset, because I was on a cross trainer when I was listening to this episode, and I swear my heart rate must have spiked to over 180 beats per minute on hearing that salamanders were reptiles. I'm sorry, all right? I knew it was stupid. Okay.
To be fair, I think your heart rate jumped as well.
Yeah.
I suddenly realised what you said and went, oh God.
Sweat going down my face. Jokes aside, in the second year of my undergrad degree, I'm about to go into my third year, rather coincidentally, I gave a presentation on that very species of salamander.
Oh, wow.
I talked about the ecology.
I mean, oh, wow.
I talked about the ecology of it with particular reference to its courtship behaviour. Oh, and has she linked?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually read this.
A paper.
Well, I flicked through it. I didn't read the whole thing, but it is very interesting.
Wow, that is really cool. It's genuinely quite interesting because during courtship, pairs of this genus of salamander conduct a tail-straddling walk, which unlocks...
Much like myself. Yeah, it's a good tactic.
Which unlocks doors into research concerning the evolution of pheromone signaling systems. This is because the males slap pheromones from a mental gland.
Yeah.
And it's not just a gland, it's a mental gland.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
To the female's snout.
Yeah. Again, this is just, I mean, Dan's I feel like someone's been watching me.
Which alter her behaviour in terms of mating success. Yeah, they just, like, smashed her in the face.
Yes.
Moving away from talking about how weird and wonderful biology is, time to ask you guys a question. If you could give a TED talk, what would you talk about and why? That's a really good question.
Gosh, yeah. I think it would be something about...
clocks.
Yes. No, I
Hans Zimmer score, I don't know. There's so
many,
Dunkirk.
There's so many things.
If I had like the time to research it, like as in if I had like time to prepare, I'd love to do like a statistical analysis of online communities and like do some proper analysis on YouTube and like try and integrate science into that.
I genuinely have no idea what I'd want to talk about. It would to do? Oh, actually, no, I do. It would be about what I wrote for my extended essay title for the IB, which is a 4,000-word essay you hand in at the end of the 2 years, on Romeo and Juliet, because that, out of any play I've ever read ever, I know it. There's nothing more I can get in my brain about that. And it was specifically about Concordia Discourse, which was, I believe, a piece of art criticism-like technique, where basically the idea was that you'd see conflicting weather systems, I guess, in paintings, and the overall, the combination of harmony and discord would create a balance, and using that visual technique and through analysing literature. It's pretty interesting. At least I found it was, but it probably sounds boring.
Well, at least somebody did.
Yes.
And then there's a postscript about how Dan is right about cats being hellspawn, which I'm not going to read because it's clearly wrong.
Clearly right. Thanks, Amy.
Next, we have an email from an inhabitant of Skyrim, Veronica Jarl.
Is she a Jarl?
I think she might be.
I guess like the way to explain that, a Nordic chieftain, would you say?
Oh, this is good. I just wanted to say, hi Simon and Dan, I just wanted to say that I absolutely adore your podcast and your film reviews.
Thank
you. I especially love the podcast episode about Hymnus Amoris, as I am Danish.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it therefore, there's an E missing and I'm reading it as if it's like there. God of Thunder, Thor. It was incredibly funny to hear about a Danish composer. Carl Nielsen is without doubt the most famous and widely known Danish composer, and he has a very beloved way of incorporating the feel of the Danish country into his music.
Hmm.
What's the English version of that? I guess like Elgar? Like a uniquely British sound?
I suppose. Or anyone who wrote a madrigal?
Like Thomas Morley or someone.
Henry VIII.
Well, disputed. Yeah. The podcast is not only filled with funny tangents and a bit of unnecessary facts, but the podcast is also quite informative, especially regarding music and chorus. The constant bickering between you two always makes for good laugh.
Good.
I think there's an A missing in there. Makes for good laugh. Sorry, we really shouldn't laugh at people with doing this as a second language because we couldn't speak Danish.
No.
We're very impressed. Last but not least, I really do enjoy painting to your podcast.
Oh, wow.
It gives an incredible boost of creativity, and the Crash Course Cryosphere series from Simon has undoubtedly helped me in my decision to pursue science and geology in my future. Thank you so much for saying that, because it doesn't get many views, but I'm really glad that it makes a difference. And that is so cool. If you want to email us with one of your paintings, we'd love to see.
Yeah.
Next, we have an email from a friend of ours, Imogen.
Yeah.
Dear Dad Moore and Cy Man.
Dad Moore, because I'm overly...
You're 50.
Well,
a 16-year-old's body.
We should also say that Imogen is known as Mumogen.
Yeah.
And Dad Moore whenever we go away with the choir, because we tend to be in charge and make sure that everyone's okay.
And she asked the following. Would you rather... Dan, would you rather only ever be allowed super milky tea for the rest of your life, or never be allowed to clean the house again?
Oh, God, that's like unstoppable force meets a movable object. I think I'd have to say super milky tea, because living in a dirty house would cause me pain. And I could just drink coffee.
Yeah.
But it would be tough.
And then one for me, Simon, would you rather be forced to go to Arena 3 times a week until you hand in your thesis, or have to go give up Coke and Red Bull?
Oh, these are brilliant.
Well crafted.
Really good.
I think I would have to go to Arena 3 times a week. You haven't specified how long for. I could just check in and then check out.
Yeah, she did though. Arena 3. Oh no, as in when you're there.
Yeah. I could not
check out and check in. That says about how much you go into a club. Check in. Oh,
hello,
here's your room key.
Yeah. I'm in room one. It's the big one in there. No, I couldn't do my PhD without caffeinated drinks. When I drink Red Bull, it's like in Space Jam.
Mm.
When they drink water, it's like, oh, like Popeye with a spinach. I go. Except probably nothing actually happens. Everything just goes really quickly in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without caffeine. So,
excellent questions, Imogen.
Excellent question, Imogen, age 21 and 3/4.
I like it.
In future, if everyone could please sign off with their age in that way, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Next, one I think you're going to enjoy. Greetings from Australia from Mark Beach.
Mark Beach, and he's Australian. How awesome.
Life's a beach.
Yeah.
Dear Messrs. Clark and Moore. Or is it Moore and Clark?
Moore and Clark.
It's definitely Clark and Moore.
It's Moore and Clark.
Just thought I'd drop you a quick line to say g'day from Australia. Should I do this in an Aussie accent?
Yeah, you can try.
Just thought I'd drop a quick line to say g'day.
No, you do it in English.
No, the fact that you dislike it means I'm going to do it more now. Just thought I'd drop a quick line to say g'day from Australia and how much I'm loving the podcast. Always something to look forward to during the week, which
sound is... You sound like a Top Gear host.
Hello!
Oh, God.
Dan ripped into me for the last time I introduced the podcast, because hello and welcome to the WikiCast.
Hello and welcome to Top Gear.
In fact, he made me redo the intro to this
podcast. We had to do it twice because it sounded ridiculous.
Anyway.
Go on.
Always something to look forward to during the week, which is excellent, especially for procrastinating uni student. I do, however, feel that your weekly conversations often take a common theme. The mentions of choral music, Dan living in Australia. However, I still love it. Just quickly, contrary to Dan.
Jesus Christ.
Although I've lived in Australia my whole life, clearly, I found that I was hardly taught any Australian history when I was in primary or high school. Maybe that was just me. Thanks for the local history lessons, Dan. Oh, and Simon, thanks for the channel. Excellent. Many happy greetings from Adelaide, South Australia.
That would explain why he wasn't taught anything in primary and high school.
Ooh!
Because he's a Southern Australian. Ooh! Wow. I'm kidding. I don't know why, but you didn't miss out on much. Ooh!
Okay, next we have a first. We've never had anything like this before in the podcast. We've been sent an acrostic poem.
Well, hey! Poetry is my favourite thing.
From Alex Nash. I'm going to butcher the pentameter of this, probably, but there you go.
It's free verse.
Well, then I really will butcher the pentameter.
Because there isn't any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simon, never doubt anything you put on your channel. Every video is genuinely captivating. Please don't feel like you need to stray away from populist ideas. On YouTube, they're mostly popular for a reason. Nevertheless, the podcast is such an original idea and very electrifying, masterfully executed too. Props to you too.
Enjambment. Very good.
Articulate and eloquent. Not all podcasts are boring, I have discovered. Dan, your forehead may be huge.
Cheers.
But so is your personality and comedic value.
Wee.
Even the shit puns.
Oh.
Look at what you've created online and be proud. Every single subscriber most probably looks to you both as role models. Cutting the length of the podcast would be upsetting to me, but if it is mostly beneficial, then I give way. Realistically, I will probably never meet you. And if that's true, I want you to know that you are easily the coolest yet nerdiest people I've seen on YouTube, and I love it.
Oh.
And the acrostic spells spongy and electric.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Alex Nash, ladies and gentlemen.
Top lad. That's top a top lad award.
Top lad.
When we are making millions from this podcast, we will make top lad awards,
yeah,
and post them to people. Can we star that award, so that email, yeah, so we can make sure we send him one?
At least starred.
Now, at this point in the podcast, we're going to read some fan fiction, and I think we've been sent a disconcerting amount. I'm reading it this week because Dan got weirded out last time.
So I'm just, I don't know if you can hear, microphone shouldn't pick it up, but I'm just going to...
You're holding it like Billy Joel, just like walking around the stage with the microphone.
Right, I'm relaxing now, I'm lying down, I'm fully extended, as it were.
Hello. As with emails, we are very sorry if we don't get around to reading your fanfiction. We just have been sent so much that this would be hours long.
And we love it. We really love it all. But just for the purposes of being reasonable, we can't include everything.
For sake of brevity and quite possibly levity, yeah, we are going to...
But we read everything out here and then we just choose what we put in.
So thank you very much for sending in the fanfiction.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring in the music because we're going to hear our first fanfiction.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm closing my eyes.
From Joshua Baker. Glad you guys enjoyed the first edition of my fanfiction. So this is chapter 2. I've never actually done anything like this, so I hope it struck the proper balance of subtle references and cringy drama. That said, I've taken a new spin with this one.
Ooh.
Enjoy. So I believe the title of the story is Spongy and Electric. Prologue. It was a dark and brooding evening in the quiet town of Bristol. A heavy rain dashed across the cobblestone roads and thatched roofs. When does he think Bristol is around the 15th
The year
century.
Was 1594.
It was very late, and the windows set in all the buildings had darkened, their occupants fast asleep. Other than the pattering rain and sparse bouts of thunder, not a sound disturbed the night. It was these thunderbolts that masked the gunshots that rang out in the dark that night.
Gosh.
The screams of their intended victim went unheard, until silence once again settled along the street.
Flawless, keep going, it's good.
Chapter 1.
Oh, here we go.
The rain carried on into the next day. Housemates Dan and Simon had decided to spend the afternoon indoors, catching up on chores, guess which one of us that was, and various other necessities. Simon sat at his computer, editing another vlog for his channel, while Dan sat in an armchair, reading an H.G. Wells classic. Can we just talk about the fact they went an H.G. Wells?
Yeah.
Proper, awesome. Very good. Reading an H.G. Wells classic and trying to forget a very strange and racy dream involving him and his mate that he had had the night before. Dan spoke up. Hey Simon, this fellow I'm reading about built a machine that let him skip forward in time. They teach you how to do that at Oxford? Simon glanced at his companion and sighed. Of course not. It's a completely nonsensical premise. Why anyone would go to the trouble to write on the subject is beyond me. Dan nodded slowly and said, I suppose you're right. He put down the book and walked over to look at what Simon was doing. It looked approximately sciency.
All right.
There was a violent banging on the door.
Sorry. It's me shagging a door. All right, go on.
There was a violent banging on the door. Dan jumped up and ran to see who it was. Upon opening the door, their mutual friend Liv... Oh my God, it's like this morning.
Pixel girl.
Their mutual friend Liv... Also, she's more than a mutual friend, she's my girlfriend.
Like, I like that, that's funny.
Rushed in, panting for breath. I just got banged on the door. No. Simon got up from his desk and said, "Oh my God, are you all right?" Liv was aghast. No, she wasn't. She was a human. Not only from exhaustion, but her face was red and marred by tears. She exclaimed, "Simon, Dan, it's horrible. Pixel Girl was murdered last night." Were you listening to that?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I just tried to move a mic and then Dan the mic nearly fell over.
So, I like the fact that Pixel Girl and Liv are two different people.
Oh, right.
So, you weren't listening, were you?
No.
No. Okay, let's do that again.
Okay.
Liv was aghast, not only from the exhaustion, but her face...
Exhaustion? Do you want to do it one more?
Liv was aghast, not only from exertion, but her face was red and marred by tears. She exclaimed, "Simon, Dan, it's horrible. Pixel Girl was murdered last night." Simon looked Dan straight in the eyes and said, "We need to get down there and find out what's happened."
Oh, hang on. Liv and Pixel Girl are two different people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also, we're detectives.
Oh, this is good.
This is good. Yeah, I like this. What are we going to do? Surely the police can handle this. Yes, but that's not how these stories work. Stories? What? Simon grabbed Dan by the wrist and yanked him out of the building. Come on then. As the two lads charged out into the rain.
The two lads, I like that too.
Also charged out, it's like superheroes going.
Dun, 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 dun.
As the two lads charged out into the rain, a single shadowy figure silently observed them on their way. To be continued.
Ooh.
There's a lot going on
in that.
That's
good. I like that.
Pixel Girl and Liv are two different people. We're detectives. We charge out into the rain like fucking Sherlock and Watson. This has got
good.
Legs.
Yeah, that's got legs.
Also, I like the line, you know, that's not how these stories work.
Mm.
Are we aware? I think I'm aware I'm in a story, but maybe you're not.
It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Is that Arthur Miller?
I don't know. I'm not really.
I think it is.
Gotta say, that is very promising.
Mm.
Josh Baker.
Excellent work, Josh.
Not done anything like this before. Top work.
Top work. Top lad.
Our next fan fiction from Hannah, who wrote The Time Traveller with the Extraordinarily Large Forehead.
Oh, excellent. Good. The next instalment.
Yeah. Dear Simon and Dan, I'm so glad that you like my fan fiction. I'd love to make this a regular thing, so here you go.
Woo.
So settle in, boys and girls, for... She hasn't actually included the name of it. I think it was The Time Traveller with the Extraordinarily Large Forehead.
I believe that's right.
Chapter 2. Daniel had almost given up hope, still not knowing what had just happened to him, when he suddenly heard footsteps in the forest he'd been lying in for what felt like an eternity to him.
I remember now.
Hoping that these footsteps belonged to someone coming to help him, he tried to scream, but all he could create was a quiet noise. Even though he didn't really believe that the person could hear him, he attempted to make the stranger notice him, because maybe this would be his last chance to be rescued. He was heavily injured, and quite sure that he wouldn't get out of whatever this weird situation was if nobody would turn up to help him. Still thinking about how he'd ended up in these circumstances, he heard that the person was slowly walking in his direction, and after using the tiny bit of energy Daniel had left to scream for help one last time, he fainted. When he became conscious again, he felt something touching his throat. At first, he couldn't identify what it was, but after a few seconds, he was sure that someone was checking for his pulse, and quickly opened his eyes while trying to lift his head so he could get a better view of the person sitting on the ground in front of him. It was a young man in his late 20s. Mid-20s.
Late 20s.
It was a young man in his late 20s, he
guessed.
His
early 40s.
This says the 50-year-old, he guessed, who looked quite normal. That's also wrong. An extraordinary bitch.
Hang on. She's got 3 years of school left. You can't call her a bitch.
She said I look quite normal.
I think that means you look pleasant.
That means I look normal. It wants to be normal.
You want what? You want to look abnormal?
No, I want to look extraordinary. Don't want to look abnormal like a mutant.
You're either normal or abnormal in the sense of being normal.
There's a positive abnormal and there's like extraordinary.
Okay. Abnormal. Here we go.
Except for the clothes he was wearing. Never before had he seen such extraordinary trousers. They were rather skinny and ended above his knees, unlike the knickers he would have worn for a sporting event or for hunting, which was probably what the man was doing in the forest while it was dark. I presume these are my running shorts.
They must be.
Trousers above the knee, I guess. The shirt he was wearing fit his pants, except for the stripes on its sides, in colours so bright that he began to wonder where one could find clothes like this. You are a fop and a dandy even in this.
Mm-hmm.
The strange outfit also didn't include a collar, a hat, a tie, or proper shoes, which was very inappropriate in his opinion.
God forbid.
He also didn't wear any kind of vest or coat, but didn't seem to be freezing, even though it was quite cold outside, as winter was approaching. I like that.
Winter's approaching.
Winter's approaching.
Nice stuff, Anna. Very good.
Wondering about the man's clothes, Daniel had almost forgotten about the circumstances he was in, but suddenly he was brought back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. No. As he heard the man talking to him. Are you okay? He asked. Daniel began to wonder even more about this extraordinary stranger. Thank you. He was quite sure the man was speaking English.
Well, he's from the West Country, you know, it's all, we're always guessing.
Yeah, from our thatched roofs. But he had no idea what okay was supposed to mean. I asked if you were all right, the man said, while looking at him with a mixture of fear and something he couldn't identify in his eyes.
Ooh.
What? How? Daniel attempted to ask something without even knowing what he was going to say. He noticed that the stranger had somehow removed the tree trunk he was trapped under. That wasn't there before.
Right.
Still wondering how he even got there. Do you need an ambulance? Should I call 911? Simon asked again. Right, okay. That's a cultural difference.
Yeah.
It's 999 in the UK. Yeah. Minor thing.
Yeah, that's all right. We're learning.
What? Whom?
Whom? This is literally me. Yeah. This is what I would be like.
He was still very confused about the words this man was using. Even though Daniel was very well educated, he never heard these words before. He tried to remember what had happened before he woke up in this forest, but it seemed like his memory had been erased completely. Again, he tried to lift his head, but the moment his muscles contracted, he felt intense pain in his spine. He also attempted to move other parts of his body.
Woof.
And discovered that his arms and legs were fine, but his head was hurting very badly.
Which one?
Wait.
Nice.
He hadn't eaten anything in more than a day, and also didn't happen to carry any water, so his throat felt extremely dry, which made talking a lot harder. Some water would be great, he responded, hoping that the stranger would understand him.
It's just coming across like you're really thick.
Do you want some water? Yeah. Okay, but first, Okay, but first, do you think you're able to stand? The man asked. I believe that's possible, Daniel whispered.
I'm suddenly C-3PO.
Yeah, you're still Harry Potter.
Oh, I see, right.
I believe that's possible, Daniel whispered, and the man bended over to help him get up.
Bent.
And that's the end.
That's good.
Yeah, I...
This is... I want this to be every week. This is really good.
Do let us know if you like the fanfic, because we're aware it's a lot of the podcast, but we enjoy it. Yeah, I like also how people have been sending us completely clean fanfiction, and we've been making it smutty.
It's good.
The more double entendres, the better,
honestly.
So thank you very much, Hannah. She's put a side note in. I forgot to put this in email. I'm sorry that nothing really happened in this chapter, and I promise the next chapter will be a little bit more interesting.
I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Apparently I'm strong enough to move you, despite... I'm like Hodor. I'm an idiot, but I can move, like, tree trunks off of you.
We're just start. I mean, this is the start of an amazing story, so a little exposition is completely fine.
I think 50 episodes down the line, we could put this into a novella.
Yeah, yeah.
Or serialise it in a newspaper.
Yeah, yeah, and make millions.
Yep.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah, for the millions.
Yeah.
Also, I hope it's historically accurate, but I don't really know much about the Victorian era. That's where Dan's supposed to be from.
That's where Dan is from.
Yeah, both in the story.
I was frozen and then brought back.
It's like a shit Austin Powers. The colonies have gone, Daniel.
No.
Where do we get the tea from? I don't really know much about the Victorian era because that's not something we learn about in history class. So I'm just trying my best and look everything up on the internet. Top lad.
Top lad.
Top lad, Hannah Muller. So, Daniel, what have we learned today? What were we talking about in the first place?
Elijah Wheatley.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Elijah Whippet Wheatley, nicknamed because of his small stature. We had a chat about jockeys.
His wife.
The difference between flat racing and steeplechases.
Yep. Different forms of horse, like pig sticking, which is just bull hunting.
Yeah, and rodeos.
Yep,
Dallas Buyers Club. Gosh, pretty much everything. We had some cracking fanfiction.
Microwaves.
Oh, yeah.
If you're that guy, fuck you.
It's bold, but yeah, fuck you.
Oh, God. I don't want to have another tirade like I did the other week.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of effort to censor it, but you make me sick. Just a reminder, if you are listening to this podcast on iTunes, and we know lots of you are, do leave us a review, because it's a really great way to attract new listeners.
Yeah, basically, every time we put an episode out, I'm kind of, well, we both are, but as I'm the one in kind of charge of getting the episodes out, looking at the analytics, reviews on iTunes, in fact, reviews on anything really, make such a big difference. If you are listening on iTunes as well, it makes a real difference if you actually subscribe to the podcast rather than just using the links that we provide here, there, and everywhere all over the internet. The same with Podbean. I know a lot of people don't actually have an account because you can just listen to it free, which is completely fine. But for those of you that are subscribed and want to do stuff like that, then
it helps
reviews,
the show.
It yeah. really, really does.
That's all for this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your podcasting service of choice. You can like us on Facebook, and if you'd like to see our faces, check out our YouTube channel, Spongy and Electric.
Microwave tips, your favourite TV shows, and other thoughts on the show can be sent to us at spongyelectric@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Join us again for another tumble down the wiki rabbit hole,
and we'll see you next time. Microwave tips, your favourite TV shows, and other thoughts on the show can be sent to us at spongyelectric@gmail.com. We'd love to... I said come. I'll do that again. That'll be in the outtake.
Yeah.
At the end of the podcast. Right.
Nailed it.
Thanks. Oh, I've got the giggles now. I'm such a professional.
Well, this is the outro to the podcast now. Okay. I hope you're all happy.
Right.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. That's good. I think that's a really good one.
I think it was.